Christ be magnified. What a great way to, you can sit down, yeah. It's great to be out here and it's great to be worshiping Him and singing that great song. If all creation was suddenly articulate and 1,000 voices with one cry, and we just heard it, Christ be magnified. I want to add my word of welcome to this outdoor time. I'm looking forward to every week. Chris and I were driving over here this morning and I said, yes, what a beautiful day to gather outdoors. And we're Oregonian enough, we usually wait till after the 4th and we're usually vindicated. And this year we would have been out here in swamp shoes earlier, but man, what a beautiful day and what a beautiful setting, and I'm so glad you're here. And we're going to do this for the next, all the way through August. In the mornings, and then in the evenings, we'll have our special outreaches, outdoor summer evenings in August. Well, we'll be worshiping back inside in the morning. But we gather, like Gary said, we just sang why. We gather to worship Him. We sing. Song is a gift from God where we can express our praise and our thanks to Him. And I believe He gave us song. That's the ultimate, the highest and best purpose of music. I mean, we can sing about our girlfriend or our, you know, this and that, and there's nothing wrong with singing in lots of ways, but man, what a joy to lift our voices to the Creator of the universe, the one who came to this world and died in our place so that we can have relationship with Him. And so we sing and we worship. And I want you to take your program, if you got it, the blue one, and you were already looking at the lyrics to the songs, no doubt, on the inside, but right above that, this morning's message, Psalm 150, the 150th Psalm. You know, He gave us a songbook. And from the very first psalm to this, the last one, the 150th psalm, this book, this songbook, I've never taken a poll, but I wouldn't be surprised that it's the favorite book of the Bible for many of us in this crowd. And I want us to just read and listen to the very words of Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To worship. You know, I think we know what it means. I've had people come to my door, cultists, and they'll talk about Jesus, and I'll say, you know, I worship Him. I worship Jesus Christ. Do you? I just ask them. And I've noticed they say, well, it depends on what you mean. I say, well, I worship Him. Do you? We're here to worship Him, to give Him the honor, the reverence, the esteem that He deserves, to give Him extravagant honor, extravagant reverence, ultimate honor, ultimate reverence. Actually, this morning, I was listening in the sense of I was reading and listening to the words of the Lord in 1 Chronicles 16. And I thought, wow, that's a great description of worship. because we're here to worship. And so listen to this. This is the biblical. You know, I could give you dictionary definitions and that sort of thing, but just listen to David. And it might have been David's song leader. It's hard to tell, but either way, this was the instruction and the exhortation to Israel, in ancient Israel, to worship the one we're worshiping this morning. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. He begins by saying, everybody, not just Israel. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For he's coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation. We're just built that way. One of the verses of that song we just sang, it's part of our DNA. We need to worship. We were created to worship. We want to express our praise of our Creator. And I would just encourage you to look up, because the scripture talks about it that way. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your face. Lift up your arms. Lift up your hands. Look upward and praise and worship. And look down. Bow your head. The New Testament word for worship is the word bend. Bend your knee. In fact, often in the book of Revelation, it's just amazing, the last book of the Bible, 24 of the 60 times that word worship is used in the New Testament come in that last book. There's going to be such great worship in the future when we're with him. But often the scenes of worship in the book of Revelation are falling flat on our face. The elders just fell flat on their face before the Lord. They fell down before the Lord, looked down and give him that reverential awe that he deserves. I remember Luis Palau. He used to come here every summer. We're going to miss him. He's up there enjoying the heavenly worship now. But when he was a young evangelist, he told me that he had the privilege. Billy Graham asked him to come and join him at one of his great campaigns in one of the great cities of America. And they were praying ahead of time. And he said it was a privilege. We got on our knees and we prayed in that hotel room. And he said, when Billy began to pray, his voice was all muffled. And Luis, you know, he said, I snuck a peek, you know. And he looked and he saw Billy Graham, his face in the carpet, just flat on his face, prostrate down on the floor before the Lord. Fall down and worship the Lord. Now, our psalm, it's a simple psalm. Kids, you can listen to this carefully. I've got a simple message. A, B, C, D. We love it when we get with kids and they start to, you know, my little grandkids, when they get to a certain age, 1, 2, 3, 7. No, 4. A, B, C, D. And don't forget, E. You can think of it that way, our psalm. A, B, C, D, 4 things I want to share, and then I don't want to forget E. A, who do we worship? Verse 1, praise the Lord. Where do we worship? B, Where do we worship? Verse 1, indoors and out, in the sanctuary and in his mighty expanse. C, why do we worship? Verse 2, because of what he's done for us, his mighty deeds, because of who he is. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Who do we worship? The Lord. Where? Everywhere. Indoors, outdoors. Why? Because of who he is and what he's done for us, verse 2. How? D. How should we worship? Man, verse 3. With brass, with strings, with cymbals. Verses 3 through 5, with everything you've got, every tool in your toolbox, every instrument you've got. A, B, C, D. Now we'll go back and take a look at that real briefly because this psalm is rich. But don't forget E. Who? Who should worship him? Is it just for churchy people? Is it just for those of us gathered on this field? Or just for those of us who know Jesus Christ? No, I'm telling you, I don't know your situation. But when I ask the question, who should worship, the psalm teaches us. It's just right there. Verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Okay, so let's just walk back through it. A, who do we worship? Notice how the psalm starts. We worship the Lord. Yahweh, praise the Lord. And notice how it ends. Praise the Lord. We worship the Lord God. Look at the second line. Praise the Lord, praise God. You know, in the Bible, in the first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim, God. And he says here, praise God. And he mentions God's name 32 times in the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light. God said, God did, God said. It's all about God. Then you get to chapter 2 when he goes into a little more detail about his creation of us. And he changes it to the Lord God. And whenever you see that term Lord in an English Bible in all caps, and I want to make sure, I didn't even look. Is it that way in our bulletin? It is. I'm glad. That's right out of the Bible. That's the English way of transliterating this word Yahweh. This special name of God. Praise Yahweh. Praise Elohim. Yahweh, the Lord, is God. Enjoy that. Who do we praise? Who do we worship? The Lord God himself. I'll lift up my eyes and look to the hills. Look to the mountains. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the psalmist said. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you, Yahweh, the Lord, who keeps you, will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Amen. No wonder we say, praise the Lord. And by the way, the Hebrew word for praise is Hallel. And so he says, Hallel Yahweh. Hallel Yah. Hallelujah. We just transliterate it right into our language. And I hear people say, like when somebody hits a home run or runs a touchdown or something, hallelujah. And we just use it like it's just an exclamation. But it's saying, Hallel, Yahweh. Praise the Lord. He's revealed himself, as Gary read, in the creation. He's revealed himself in the Bible. He's the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's revealed himself ultimately by coming to this planet in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we worship Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, but you can see him. The 18th verse of that first chapter of John says, the only begotten God who's in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him, exegeted him, he's made him known. I can know what God is like by looking at Jesus Christ. And Jesus said at the end of his life to the guys that followed him, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God in the flesh, we worship him. Thomas, doubting Thomas, I won't believe it unless I see the scars. You know, when the guy said, the Lord's alive, we saw him. When he rose from the dead, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I can see it. And Thomas, the Lord Jesus graciously showed himself to Thomas, and he said, John 20, verse 28, my Lord and my God. A, who do we worship? The Lord, first line. Secondly, B, where do we worship? Indoors, in his sanctuary. And by the way, in Israel's day, the sanctuary was the holy place. There was a tent, there was an inner tent. It was a place inside that you couldn't go into except a prescribed way to come before the Lord to teach us of his holiness. But our auditorium over there isn't a sanctuary. It's not a holy place. But to Israel, he says, praise him inside in the sanctuary and praise him in the mighty expanse. Praise him outdoors. No, today, the holy place is actually our hearts where Jesus lives. If you've put your faith in Christ, you and I are the holy place. But let me just say it, David, or the psalmist, whoever the psalmist is here, he just says, hey, praise him indoors and praise him outdoors. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Praise him this week when you're inside, and praise him when you're outside. Praise him on Tuesday afternoon. Praise him and worship him on Friday night. To whom then will you liken me? Praise him in his mighty expanse. To whom then would you liken me, the Lord says in Isaiah 40, that I should be his equal? Lift up your eyes and see who's created these stars. This is a good time of year to do that. Get out at night, and even in the city with all the ambient light, you know, you can see a lot of stars. Lift up your eyes and see who's created these stars, he says. Wow. He's called forth their hosts by number. They used to think the Milky Way was the whole universe till about 100 years ago when Hubble built that telescope down in Southern California. And now we know that the Milky Way alone has 200, 300, maybe 400 billion stars. And God says, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these stars, who calls forth their hosts by number. And of course, the Milky Way isn't the universe. It's one of just a few galaxies. In June last year, June 21, they made some new observations. It's kind of like I went to the barber this week, you know, I got my hair cut. And my phone rang, and she said, the gal cutting my hair, she said, hey, feel free to take it. I said, I had my glasses off. I said, it doesn't do me any good. I can't read it until I put my glasses on. And that's the way it is with these massive electronic probes into our universe. When we see more, we go, I can't believe I never even saw that. They're estimating now, since June of 21, when they made some new breakthroughs in this, that there are trillion, think federal deficit. You know, you spend $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, pretty soon it adds up to real money. 2 trillion galaxies. Now, lift up your eyes on high. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Where do you praise him? Everywhere you are. Why? C, A, B, C. Why do we praise him? Look at verse 2. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's usually how we come to know God, I think. We see what he's done, and we realize who he is. That's the way it was when Jesus was here. He would do things, and people would go, wow, only God can raise the dead when he called Lazarus out of the grave. Only God can heal a man blind from birth. Only God can forgive sins. And so that's the normal pattern. You see what he's done, and that's why you worship him, and then you worship him for who he is. I want to reverse the order for just a second. Look at the last line of verse 2. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for who he is. Worship him today for who he is. I'm here to tell you, he's great. I'm here to tell you, he's excellent. I was talking to a young contractor this week. He was doing some work for me. And he's a hard worker, and he's got a thriving business, and I enjoyed talking with him. And as I took him out a cold drink, and we sat down a little bit and talked, and then I said, you know, do you have any Christian background? He said, no, he didn't. I said, well, I'd like to give you something. I gave him a little portion of God's word, and he thanked me for it. And just me bringing the subject up, he began to open up. And this outgoing, very friendly, together guy opened up and told me some of the pain in his life. He said, it's interesting you'd give me this right now. This might be a good time for me to look into this. And I looked him in the eye, and I couldn't see his eye. He had sunglasses on. It was out here like this, you know. But I said, you know, Jesus Christ is my best friend. And I could see, even through the opaque sunglasses, he was listening. And as he told me, he began to open up about some of the disappointment and the heartache. And yes, as we talked a little further, the depression. He used that term. And then he used it again. And I know that we can hide these things from each other. But in a world that's a mess, a world of pain, a world of hopelessness, I looked him in the eye and I said, I'm here to tell you there's hope. There's hope. Jesus Christ can give you joy. And he thanked me, and we're looking forward to getting together. And he said, I'm going to read this. And I'm here to tell you today what the psalmist says. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. He is perfect. He loved you enough to send his son to die on a cross for you. You can trust that kind of love. You might have a conception of God where you think, well, I don't know if I could, I don't want to become too religious. I don't want him to mess up my life. That's the way I used to think until I realized he loved me enough to die for me. I could trust that kind of love. And I can tell you now, after walking with him for many years and many ups and downs in my own life, I have found him to be completely trustworthy. He who believes in him, Isaiah 28:16, will not be disappointed. Quoted in Romans 10, quoted again in Romans 9. Justin opened that up for us last week when he said, he will not, you trust in him, you will not be put to shame. I'll tell you what, you'll never be disappointed or put to shame by trusting in this one who loves you, who cares for you. He's perfect in his care. You can cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you and me. Having loved his own who were in the world, the Bible says, he loved them to the end. He loves us with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I was talking this week. In fact, I wasn't just talking. We had we gathered several men downtown, a prominent businessman and a prominent surgeon. And we gathered and we just got into the Bible together. And we've been meeting and guys open up and share their heart. And I gave him a lift home. Actually, the guy that gave me a lift downtown, we both gave him a lift home. And as he got out of the car, he said, this is so important that we can talk to each other, that we can be real, let our guard down. And the reason we could do that with one another is because we've met Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, and you can let your guard down with him. He knows all about your frailty. He knows about your problems. He knows about my sin. He knows everything about me. He cares for me. And the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxieties on him. Cast your stress on him. Cast everything on him because he cares for you. Who do we worship? We worship the Lord. Where do we worship? Everywhere. Indoors, outdoors, you name it. Why do we worship? Because of who he is and what he's done for us. We worship him for his mighty deeds. Oh, he created us. He sustains the universe. But I think what dwarfs it all, his mighty deed that just overwhelms me, and I hope you, is that he redeemed me. He died in my place and said, it is finished. He put my sins as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't even remember them anymore. What a Savior we've got. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him for his mighty deed, singular. That's why Paul would say things like, I had determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and his cross. May it never be that I would boast except in Jesus Christ and his mighty deed, his cross. Well, D, A, B, C, D, how do we worship him? Look at verse 3. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments. Praise him with brass. Praise him with your guitar. Praise him with all your stringed instruments. Praise him with wind instruments. Praise him with rhythm. Praise him with dancing. But when we were in Africa, our African brothers and sisters, African Christians, they're expressive. When I was opening up the book of Romans in Ethiopia, and I shared, and it had been when we were there in 2014, speaking to a crowd of pastors, I shared how John and Jeanette Corey from our congregation went out 50 years earlier in 64 and brought the gospel to Ethiopia and had labored there. And as I shared that it had been 50 years and that John and Jeanette had buried their son, their little boy who died there, they buried him in Ethiopia, they wept openly. And later, as I was in Romans 8 unfolding John's love for Christ and Christ's love for John, and that scene when I came back from Africa a couple years earlier and read him Romans 8 on his deathbed, they wept. And there was joy in the midst of it, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And then later, in that same time, opening up the book of Romans that week, they'd be dancing in the aisles, praising the Lord for his goodness. Praise him. Look at it, verse 3, 4, 5. Praise him with everything you've got. Praise him at work. Praise him in your home. Praise him with every instrument you have. Praise him with every tool you have. Praise him in your leisure time. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord. Worship the Lord every way you can. Ask God to teach you and me how to use the various instruments, and I don't mean just musical, the tools, the situations in our lives where we can give glory and praise to him. A, B, C, D. Who do we worship? The Lord of the universe. Where do we worship? Indoors, outdoors, everywhere. Why do we worship? Because of who he is, what he's done for us. How do we worship? Every way we can. A, B, C, D, but don't forget E. Look at verse 6. There's a change in gears here. I'm not now talking about God and worshiping him. I'm asking the question, who should worship the Lord? Let everything that has breath worship the Lord. Let everyone who has breath worship the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that the creation is groaning, waiting for that day when Jesus Christ is revealed. I mean, this is a beautiful world, but we weren't sitting out here a few weeks ago when it was pouring down rain and cold, and you know, things aren't what they ought to be, even in creation, since sin entered the picture. And the creation, Romans 8 says, is groaning, waiting for that day when Christ sets things right, when he comes back in his glory and is revealed. The Bible says poetically, the trees of the field will clap their hands. They're just going to, the whole creation's going to burst into praise. In fact, let me reread that passage that I started with from Chronicles. Because who should worship the Lord? Let everything that has breath worship the Lord. Let stuff that doesn't have breath, let the trees worship the Lord. The creation is designed to give praise to God. Listen to it again. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the earth. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him all the earth. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth, and he's going to set things right. This world isn't just going to go on in a monotonous cycle of chaos. No, God's going to wrap it up. The Lord is coming to set things right. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation. Who should worship the Lord? Anybody that needs salvation. That's me. That's you. O God of our deliverance, we worship you. Who should worship the Lord? Everybody that has breath. Are you breathing? You may not be tomorrow. The Bible says that the breath of life is in our nostrils. Every breath we take could be our last. You say, Scott, let's don't get weird. Have you looked around? Have you ever looked at the actuarial tables? There'll come a day when I draw my last breath, and you will too. While you have breath, you're sitting here, you're breathing. Praise the Lord, worship him. Come to Jesus Christ. Rejoice that he not only created the universe, but he died in your place. And he not only died for your sin, but he rose again, never to die again. No wonder we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we praise you and thank you that you're this kind of a God. You're worthy of our praise and adoration. What a joy it is to be out here and to just sing praises to you, to lift our voices, because there is one before the throne, Jesus, who represents us, who died and rose again on our behalf. Oh, Lord, forgive us for ever mistrusting your love. Forgive us for the many times we've gone our own way. Forgive us for failing to worship you. And I praise you that you came into this world, Lord, to deliver people like us. No wonder we say, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, as we unite our voices one more time, may our voices be worshiping you in spirit and our truth. May our instruments, may we all just with one voice declare, Christ is magnified. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.